Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Managy Digital.
And before we get started, head over to kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca/checklist and download Matt and Brian's marketing checklist for Kawartha small businesses. All right, Matt, today we are talking about brainstorming, and I threw this on our list of episodes when we were brainstorming lists of that, because I think something I've learned is that there are some rules and techniques for brainstorming, and most people I have met don't do it right at all, and they are wasting just a lot of time and energy in sort of using the word, but not any of the techniques. So I thought it would be a great topic for us to dive into a bit.
Yeah, it's a good one to talk about, because when I saw that we were going to talk about this, in my head, I figured you had some plan, because I don't have any clue how to effectively, properly brainstorm. I honestly feel as if most of the best ideas I've ever had are not on a whim, but in the middle of a conversation, or they just kind of pop into your head. So I'm curious about talking about intentional brainstorming.
Yeah, and I think intentional, knowing there's a structure. A lot of times what I see with some businesses is they'll try to do it unplanned, out of nowhere, and it's sort of like, all right, let's brainstorm marketing ideas, or let's brainstorm new product ideas. And it's just kind of random. I've been on a lot of not-for-profit boards or groups that will just sort of start trying to brainstorm stuff. And it isn't as effective when it's completely random. So, you know, one of the things is you need some sort of structure, someone in charge of running it as a process. You also need a good idea why you're there. So sometimes you're brainstorming for different reasons. If it's just completely random, then like it's just people aren't prepared, probably not going to be as effective.
Yeah, the only times I've been part of brainstorming that I can think of, I'm sure I did it at other companies-ish, but I've done it for a board that I'm on specifically. And I feel as if most of the time, if it's ever been thrown out there where it's like, hey, like, can we come up with some ideas on the spot? People don't have a clue. And that's not an attack at anyone's intelligence or anything like that. I just feel as if sometimes if you're put on the spot from a brainstorming perspective, you're going to make people look dumb. They're not going to have answers. And you're going to wonder, like, why am I working with this person?
Yeah. And so I think that's part of it, is you're not prepared. There's some mental tricks that you can do to prepare for that. You could think about some things. I think knowing what the question is or what you're brainstorming is helpful. It's also helpful to know that, you know, you could use, you know, like the design thinking process, which I think we've talked about before, to go through a process of identifying, you know, sort of empathy, why you're there, what the problems are, going through a process to really define the problem. And then if you're coming up with ideas, you could be using some brainstorming techniques to know the exact problem that you're solving. What I think a lot of organizations and small businesses do is they try to just start brainstorming random solutions right away.
Yeah.
And they're looking for a fully polished idea. So when it's like, okay, we have 10 minutes, let's brainstorm, you know, new marketing ideas that are going to make us lots of money. And
your video is good.
Yeah. Like there's no filters, you know, there's no criteria. So it's really hard to do that. So if you, you know, take some time to really know why you're there, and maybe what that criteria is, you know, then you can be more effective in brainstorming.
It's too broad, right? Like you need some parameters or some guidelines. It's like, I have relatives specifically that will start conversations with like, so what's new? Or if there's a lull in the conversation, like, so what else is new? I'm like, what do I even say to that? Like, I don't even know where to begin. What part of my life do you actually want to know about? Like, give me some guideline. Like, what's new at work? What's new with Thrive? What's new with marketing? What's new with your kids? What's new with the TV you're watching? Give me some idea as where you want me to go, and I'll go there. But don't just be like, hey, what's new? It's not effective at all.
Yeah, and that's the sort of a good way to think about the mental exercise of doing proper intentional brainstorming, especially for a small business, because you don't have all the resources in the world, but sometimes you want to take some time to brainstorm, you know, what is my, you know, marketing themes for next day or next year, or what can we do to make things more efficient? So when you take the time to define one sort of problem that you're talking about, you could set a time limit and you can do an amazing amount of work in, say, 10 minutes. If people know sort of what it is they're talking about, they have some background information, they have some, you know, criteria or filters in place if you're looking at solutions. Sometimes you could even do like an opposite and remove those criteria and filters. So you could say like, hey, if we had $1 million, what could we do for marketing? And then you go through that exercise of just as many ideas as possible. And then maybe you change it to your real budget and start picking from those. And it might help you warm up your brain to sort of come up with some ideas where you don't need that. But without that sort of guidance, you're just randomly doing things. You also get, sometimes people will grab one of those ideas and they'll start criticizing it right away. You know, that's not really brainstorming either. That's sort of jumping to solutions. Or people will then get off topic and start talking about other things. So, you know, what we traditionally might call a brainstorming session is really just chaos sometimes.
You need like a facilitator or a moderator then, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's good to have a moderator. I think it's good to try out different sort of techniques. So it could be focused time, like, hey, we're focusing on this problem or this thing. Other times it might be not focused, because when your brain gets going, you could like, have other ideas about other things and you just want to write them down and sort of put them in the parking lot for later. So it could be very valuable. You could play little games like looking for the wackiest idea. You could take one idea and sort of build on it more and more and more. And having somebody who's in charge is really helpful for that.
That's a cool idea. I like the idea of I don't know if you said an award or a challenge for the person that comes up with the wackiest idea. Because I think so often ego gets in the way of brainstorming also.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are scared that we're going to say something that is stupid or kind of half-baked. But I think like brainstorming really is just you're coming up with some, not even a framework. I don't even want to put it that way. It's like a teepee of ideas where it's like, let's just put these things together and see what happens.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, removing that ego, not letting someone dominate it. If you have someone who's taking control, you could do things like, you know, you go around and each person says one idea and it could be rapid fire and no judgment. There's also a technique called right storming. So sometimes you do it completely silent and you just write things down on your own piece of paper. Sometimes you might have one piece of paper and pass it around so that people are sort of adding on to the thing the last person maybe wrote. So there's, you know, different things like that you can do to try to make sure everybody gets a chance to contribute.
Yeah, I like the idea of everyone being able to write down their ideas and submit them later on. Not even later on, but like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or come back to it at a different time and come up with the ideas. But it helps people put aside the ego or the concern that they're going to get made fun of or something like that if they come up with something that doesn't really make sense yet. But I think that's what holds so many people back of having to think about, like, a long-term thinker, like myself, I think, where I can sometimes see, like, the finish line or past the finish line. So that's where I'm trying to think. But sometimes it might be hard for me to figure out the original idea as to how to start that race or whatever. So
yeah, and sometimes you're talking about the long-term stuff, yeah. And then other times it's like, okay, what's our next step, right? And that could be a, you know, a brainstorming session too, and it could give you just things to explore and talk about. You can use techniques like, you know, set a time limit for what we call divergent thinking. So you're just being as crazy and wacky as possible. And then you go into a convergent time where you're trying to make some choices and eliminate some of those to sort of bring you down to, you know, maybe here's the few things we're going to explore, or, you know, we're going to, you know, we've had this session, we have five ideas, we're going to explore them, and we're going to get it down to two ideas by a certain time versus, you know, just trying to come up with two ideas from the start, or having 100 ideas and then not coming back to any of them and then just like disappearing without ever talking about it again.
Yeah. I wonder if we even like came up with ideas, like the wackiest ideas you could ever think of. I bet you they're not even that wacky.
I bet they're usually like, not.
They're like subconscious, like your goals. They're like your ultimate dreams coming true, which probably aren't that wacky, which is funny to think. They're probably all like very tangible to achieve.
Yeah, it's really, they might not be wacky depending what you're doing, or they might fit really well, or you might be able to adjust it a little bit and suddenly it fits. Because I think, you know, again, we turn everything into a marketing podcast. And I know that sometimes, you know, I'll be in groups of people who don't really want to do marketing and they won't do systemic marketing, but then they want a wacky marketing idea that's going to magically work and get a lot of results. But sometimes you need some wacky ideas to just get attention on you. So depending where what you're doing in marketing, you know, if your system's built and you just need the people to know you exist and then you can bring them through, there's certain brands and certain types of businesses where something wacky might work and it's what you need. And then people are like, oh, what's the wacky thing they're going to do next? And everyone knows sort of who they are and, you know, they like that type of thing. So you might want wacky ideas.
Yeah, I laughed when you said, let's pretend that we had $1 million to spend on marketing. And I, in my head, I was like, I would love someone to pay me $1 million in marketing, not because I would then make $1 million, but I will then dare that person to tell me marketing does not work because we can achieve whatever you want for $1 million.
Yeah.
That's the crux of the whole thing. People think marketing doesn't work because they don't spend money. They're like, well, I've only got $100 budget. What can you do for me? Well, probably nothing. So marketing is not going to work for $100.
Yeah. You have to put some resources in. And if you don't have a lot of money, then you need more time resources and you might need to pay someone for a brainstorming session to like help you figure out what are those free things that you can do or those cheap things that you can do, and then what you need to do to make sure those things matter, right? Like you could tell lots of people that you exist, but if you don't tell them where you are, then that's useless, right? So you can, you know, you can figure out some of those other things that are needed through going through these sort of processes and tools versus randomly just doing something chaotic.
Yeah. Like I could, I lost my train of thought completely. I'm so sorry. I've never done this in our 80 episodes. I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, that's all right. I will talk about my next thing then, which is more just the, you know, the sticking it to the process of, you know, if you're using, you know, design thinking, you know, usually you start with empathy, what the customer's feeling, what customers want, how they experience what you do, you know, from there defining the problem that you actually want to solve, then you're talking about solutions. Most people skip those steps and they just jump right to solutions. But if you have, you know, some background on what people are thinking, what people are doing, then you're more likely to create solutions that solve that problem or work with what people's habits are. So that, I think, at a basic level is a great way to prepare for proper brainstorming.
Yeah. And like, where did you learn all of this brainstorming stuff?
So a lot of it is through like reading through about innovation. I had an opportunity to teach an innovation class with Wael Nawara, who I think is a, you know, a real innovation expert. Again, I think we might have done some episodes, or we may do some more on specifically innovation, because I think that's, a buzzword that people use wrong, and they don't realize it's an actual process with some actual structure and rules to it. And that was really where I was like, oh, I don't actually hate brainstorming, because I usually hate it because it's always random when I do it. And I'm like, why are we here? I'm just throwing things out. And then I have a tendency to sometimes make it facetious or make fun of it, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But then I realized, oh, I don't hate brainstorming. I hate useless brainstorming. But if we know what we're trying to solve, or if we know that, hey, we have a problem, we don't know what that is, then we can, you know, go through that process. And whether you have a outside facilitator doing it or it's an internal team, you know, following that process and having some structure makes it so that when you kind of play those games or you're in the brainstorming, you can be really effective.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would love to actually now go and do a brainstorming session after just having this conversation. Now that I think about it, I have done it with another company and it was pretty effective with an agency that I used to work with. They did the model where it was write for 5 or 10 minutes on post-it notes and then go put your post-it notes on the board and then we'll talk about it from there.
Oh, yeah.
That actually was super effective. And then I did do it with you back in October during that retreat. And I don't really know if you had it structured or not, which I don't know, maybe that's a good facilitator, but...
Yeah, I think we did it a little bit. I'm trying to remember back. I had brought a lot of tools with me to that retreat and we sort of cherry picked them as needed. We didn't do like a full brainstorming. I think we were prepared to, and I had lots of different colored sticky notes. And there's some things we could have done, but you know, we didn't intentionally go through it, but I think it's definitely worth it for, you know, certain types of business decisions or changes.
It's probably good to align with however often you're going to be thinking about how to grow your business and planning and goals and all that. And I want to start sitting down quarterly to do that. I feel like once a quarter now, I need to put that into the rotation as well of like just sitting down and doing like a brainstorming session, like very structured.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely a good, I mean, I'm sure we'll create the Thrive Brainstorming workshop here pretty soon, but it's definitely worth it to make it an intentional time. Because I think what happens is, and I'm like anyone else, you get ideas all the time. Sometimes you can write them down. Sometimes you don't write them down. Sometimes you dive into them and sort of burn some time. Sometimes you forget them and then you're like, whoa, what happened to that really good idea? So having those, you know, quarterly, you know, maybe semi-annually times where you specifically do that, it allows you to both have the fun to get your brain going and get all of that stuff. But then it also gives you some deadlines or ways to think through applying those. I use filters or frameworks as sort of the language because you have to test some of those ideas against things like, you know, does it fit in your strategy? Does it fit in the resources you have now? Does it fit in your brand message? I think a lot of people in marketing and overall business make mistakes when A, they don't have a brand message strategy at all, and B, they come up with new ideas that don't fit what that is. So it just confuses your customers right away, or it confuses your operations a little bit. And you know, having a process where you go through and test some of these things might help you filter those ideas better, so that you're just set up for success when you do launch them a little bit more.
What is a brand message strategy then?
So brand message strategy, I think, is, again, I'm going to link this to StoryBrand and the framework that I like to use. And, you know, StoryBrand is the concept of inviting your customer into a story where they are the hero, you're the guide. And as a guide in that story, you need to know the type of guide you are. I've been using the analogy of movies. And, you know, Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman is one type of guide. And Curly from City Slickers is another type of guide. The things Curly does and says are not what Julia Roberts does. So if you made a movie where you just switch those roles, it might be odd and funny, but it wouldn't work. So you need to make sure that you're offering products and things that fit with the business you have. Sometimes people will create, or they'll try to expand their business and launch whole new product lines and services that just don't make sense for their business. I'm trying to think of an example that's not specific so that I don't.
Oh yeah. Tune into the Quartha Small Business Podcast so Brian can make references to movies that were made 30 plus years ago.
Yeah. Old movies, which people love. And also businesses who have launched things that just don't make sense. Like they'll say, like, you know, if it was a restaurant that specialized in burgers, and then all of a sudden they were selling artisan popsicles, like that might not make any sense at all. Those are two different things. You know, maybe there's a way, if you have both of those skills, you fit them together, but they don't necessarily, you know, fit with each other, right? Or, you know, a barbecue place that also has organic smoothies, right? It's not necessarily the same type of thing, and it doesn't make sense. And people do stuff like that all the time that just don't fit with sort of the brand and the message that they have.
Yeah. And it wasn't until you introduced me to StoryBrand and I started paying attention months later, maybe years later. And I swear radio commercials are the worst for it, where they're trying to pack so much information into a very small period of time. And I cannot even begin to guess the name of the golf course that it was, but I had a golf course radio commercial about a year ago talking about, of course, like, come to this beautiful golf course. And then if you don't like golf, and then in my head, I immediately thought, well, why? What's the goal there? Why are we not just focusing on people that like golf? And then they went into like apparel and a beautiful patio where you can have drinks and cocktails and this food. And it was like, whoa, there's just like too much stuff going on here.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, we had a brainstorming idea and we want to fit all of these things in, but then you didn't apply the filter of what is that brand message, or what is the, you know, the resource we have, which is a, you know, 20 second radio commercial. How do we make the most use of that with, you know, what's going to get us the most leads and the most profit? Again, I think, you know, brand message, core strategic design of your business as well. You know, if you do things that are high priced and custom, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're going to get this new thing that's really cheap, and people will like that because now it serves people who can't afford what we do. You know, it ends up confusing the business a little bit. And that's from not going through that process of applying those filters or critically thinking, you know, does this fit with our strategy? But it doesn't mean it was a useless idea, because in brainstorming, you want all of those ideas, and maybe you, you know, figure out something there. If, you know, one of your problems is too many people say you're too expensive, you know, maybe you then realize that it's a marketing issue and you need to, you know, position yourself as someone who is more expensive or make people understand what it is that you actually do. Or maybe you are just so expensive and you realize that, you know, you need to invest in production efficiency to make you less expensive. So, you know, in that case, there's no bad ideas, but it's when you just jump to the conclusions or just try random things without sort of going through the process, you know, it's not as beneficial to your business as it could be.
Everything is a marketing issue, Brian.
Well, it is, right? Every business is a marketing business that happens to do something else. You know, we turn everything into a marketing podcast because business is marketing. I think we've talked about it. If you choose to be in business, you choose to do marketing, you know, whether you choose to do it good or you choose to do it not very good is still a choice, but you're still marketing. And, you know, these types of processes are, you know, great filters to help you figure out what to actually do.
Every business is a marketing business that has marketing problems that can be solved by marketing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's, yeah, it's as simple as that. All righty. So we've put a different sort of lens on brainstorming here. I think for me, I'd like to, you know, get into some properly structured brainstorming sessions a little bit more. Those are something I think that they work nicer when you can do it in person and distraction free versus, you know, over Zoom. So, you know, the right environment, right? Right. I know we'll turn this into an ad for Thrive Coworking Community. But, you know, one of the things I'm excited about for Thrive specifically is having the facility to be able to do those types of sessions. And also having, you know, different people who are around, and maybe you can, you know, jump in on each other's sessions sort of a little bit and get some different perspectives and outside perspectives. Because there's really no wrong answers when you get into that structure. And, you know, you're the one that has to apply the filters, but all the other stages, you know, you can really have anyone sort of involved and try to just get as many sort of ideas and thoughts that you can.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think it's true for almost any professional call or meeting you're going to have. There has to be the right environment for it. I've tried to talk to people about marketing and they want to stand at the cash or the counter of their store. And I was like, no, it's going to be a distraction. You're going to be pulled all over the place. Like, you need an environment where you can actually focus and be able to come up with these ideas with other people. Same with like goal setting or whatever. Like, if you're at home on your couch and your kids are running around, or you're thinking about, oh man, I got to take the garbage out before I go to bed. Like, you need a proper environment to be able to thrive.
Yeah. And that's so true. And I think this sort of loops into the proper environment. I think when we talk about this, sometimes people think, oh, I don't have time for that, and that's too much work. But again, with the right facilitator and the right space, you can do an incredible amount in a fairly short period of time. So, you know, I would challenge any listener to give me 10 minutes even. That's pretty fast, and 10 minutes isn't a lot of time. But you could do an insane amount in 90 minutes. You know, a day is a really long time. And when you add it up over the course of a year for a business, you know, there are some, you know, we've just touched on brainstorming. I have some amazing resources that can help people go through some of these processes. They don't really take a long time. Like, if you do, you know, an hour a month, or even, you know, 90 minutes a quarter is a lot. It might sound like, well, that's a long meeting, but when you look at the scope of a year and for your business, you know, set up the right way, you can make a lot of difference in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, I would challenge anyone to bring up a problem to me or you on the street and let us talk to you for 10 minutes. I think we can come up with some sort of solution. Tell me a marketing
or at least questions to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just think you need the time to not even sit down, but just to intentionally think about the problem. And if you can carve out even the smallest amount of time, I think all day might be not aggressive, might be too long. I know from experience of like having long conversations like that, I feel like halfway through the day or even after a couple hours, you're more so not as much focused on like the idea anymore. And you're like, how do I implement this? And like, how do I actually follow up on it? So like, okay, I've got the idea. I've got a solution. Now I want to go act on it right away. Maybe that's a way we can structure these Thrive things too.
Yeah, that's the, again, design thinking. You know, you get into prototyping and testing.
Yeah.
Right? You have this idea. So then there's lots of ways you can rapidly prototype and test it. And then if it sucks, you throw it out and you go back to, one of the other stages. Or you prototype it and you realize, oh, here's a whole thing we didn't forget about in that criteria of maybe the problem we were trying to solve or the resources we have. So you just loop back in the process. And, you know, having that intentional time helps. I think knowing that you need that time and that it's not always perfectly efficient is sort of another paradigm shift people need. Because I know, a lot of businesses will do that. Okay, we need the marketing solution. What is it? And then they'll take that first idea, try to do it. They won't do it properly. And then they'll just say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or they'll bring in a teenager, be like, oh, we got this awesome kid who's so bright and, you know, they know Instagram really well. And they just want to go with whatever the first thing they say is, and it doesn't necessarily work. That person could be a great resource as part of that team to, you know, to go through some of these exercises. But just knowing that you're going to have some bad ideas, but through all of that, you're going to define some really good ideas, and then you're going to be able to make solutions that fit with your business that are going to help you.
Yeah, I had someone last week, I told you about this, and I won't go into big specifics, but they're like, well, what would you bring to the table that one of our younger employees could just do for us? I was like, go ahead and let them do it. I don't care. I've already like checked out of this conversation if that's where your head's going.
Yeah, so which is funny. Anyway, on that note, any final thoughts?
One thing I guess I would want to throw out there, like, and this is probably true for most conversations in general, but in brainstorming specifically, the way I've seen these conversations just immediately flop, go stale and go quiet is when people just start saying no right away to people's, to their ideas. Well, what if we did this? No, here's why this doesn't make sense. Well, like, give it a minute to marinate. Like, there's an idea there. It made some sense. Find a way to make it work instead of immediately just saying no.
Yeah, and that's, intentionally walking into the room with the right attitude. And that's, again, not just looking for perfectly made solutions. And if you ever find yourself doing that, or you find yourself in a room where people are doing that, what you're doing is not brainstorming. It's not innovating. And you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself in some ways and, you know, commit to a proper process. And you know, you can say no later or realize why later, but you know, just let the idea flow, because maybe you say that doesn't work. And when you define why it doesn't work, you can then come up with a solution for why it doesn't work. And that could be what the real problem is.
That's a great point.
There's a whole bunch of, you know, our brains are very powerful, and people forget that sometimes. So you got to sometimes let it go to work and do all that it can do. And you'll be amazed what you can come up with.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. Awesome. If you would like to brainstorm with us, we would love to do that. Check us out at kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca. We can help you start, grow, or recharge your business. Or skip all that and just send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.